This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
A new study looks at Rhode Island's high unemployment rate, and at least the takeaway I get is it's a somewhat different look from some other findings. Now, the study is by the College and University Research Collaborative, whose program director Amber Calkins joins us on The Bottom Line. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Describe this study. Who did the study and what the study examined?
Right. So this study was done by Neil Mehrotra, who is a professor of economics at Brown University. And his expertise, one of the things he's really focused on academically, is the beverage curve and what that means as it relates to labor market mismatch on a national level. So what he did was take a look at what that might mean for Rhode Island. Do we have a labor market mismatch here in the state?
So it's not just a measure of jobless benefits.
Right. No, he was looking at one of the things that we often hear is there's a mismatch between the jobs that are available and the skills that people have. So he wanted to see if that could be one of the potential things happening here in Rhode Island.
And what was his conclusion?
So one of the things that he found was that while that over the long term could be a part of it, he found some other things related to looking at educational attainment, looking at the length of unemployment benefits here in Rhode Island, which is longer than some other areas, of course, for different reasons, but also looking at how we invest in new and young firms and things like that as being other areas that might have contributed to unemployment in the state.
Did he have prescriptions for attacking those different factors, or is that another study?
I think that's more of another study, although one of the things that he does focus on is to invest more in thinking about businesses in the state and growing new and young firms as being an area where we see a lot of job growth. So having more policies that support new and young firms might be something that could help with Rhode Island.
Now, did he find that young versus more mature firms have different issues? You know, for instance, do you find more mismatches between job skills and openings in mature firms versus young firms? Is there a difference between the two?
Well, there's a difference in how quickly those firms hire. When you have new and young firms, they tend to hire at a much faster rate. When you have more mature firms, they take a much longer time to hire new employees.
And did he come to any conclusion as to why that's the case?
That wasn't something that he was looking at particularly. It was more about seeing what might be some potential areas to continue studying.
We hear many times in the study of the Rhode Island high unemployment figures about the loss of traditional old-style manufacturing jobs, but that doesn't seem to be the only reason for the local high jobless numbers, right?
Right. That was one of the things that he looked into. And when you look at it comparatively around the region, Rhode Island isn't that different from some of the other areas. So trying to figure out why it affected us so much more with unemployment here in Rhode Island was something that he was interested in.
Could he identify or isolate any reasons that made Rhode Island an outlier in a sense?
Well, I think he points to the outliers as far as looking at educational attainment being something that is less in Rhode Island as compared to our neighbors, having the higher unemployment benefits, as I mentioned, and then also the housing crisis being something that was felt more in Rhode Island than some of the other surrounding areas.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Amber Calkins, the program director of the College and University Research Collaborative, and a new study about the local jobless situation. Amber, some other factors in the study included unemployment insurance in the state, which we mentioned briefly. How does that contribute to unemployment? It's supposed to try to end it.
Yeah, I think that that's something, you know, as I said, Rhode Island having the 99 weeks as opposed to some other areas. And obviously there's reasons why we have the longer unemployment coverage because there was a higher level of unemployment. I think looking at that in more depth would be something that would be a great question to follow up with.
This is a chicken or egg thing, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of discussion nationwide is you know, if longer and more generous unemployment benefits, which are designed to sort of ease the pain of losing a job, if they contribute to people not returning to the workforce as soon as they might be able to.
I think that that was something that he pointed to a bit as being able to see that areas that had longer unemployment benefits had more unemployment. But then when you look at it from the perspective of whether or not people are no longer considered, you know, part of that because they've dropped out of the labor market is something that you have to parse out. And that wasn't something that he looked at.
Job training programs by government versus job training programs by companies internally was also looked at in this study, right?
Yes, that was something he mentioned as an area to explore further as being something that might be more beneficial if you're able to create a labor market where employers are the ones who are doing job development and training might be another way to help improve those numbers.
And the study mentioned other factors like education and household wealth as also playing a role in unemployment. Is that going to be pursued further?
You know, I'm not sure how those things will be pursued, but I think that the important thing with this study and some of the others we're doing is to be able to create more of a dialogue around certain areas, bring some different perspectives to the table to allow for those conversations to take place so people can see what can we do with the information that we have.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where do these findings go next?
So these findings are all shared with, you know, broadly across the state. We share them with our panel of policy leaders who represent, they're the policy directors for the governor, the House, and the Senate. We share them with the legislature. We share them with, you know, anyone. We want to get these findings out there because we think there's a lot of areas where people can find use for the findings and implications in the study.
Now, the collaborative is an outgrowth of now 2.5 years ago, Make It Happen Rhode Island, the Rhode Island Foundation's project. And so the foundation has contributed. You have the state contributing, and now the universities are contributing to fund this research because research generally, you know, you apply for grants and you get paid. And so this is how this is now sort of internally financed. Do you feel like the collaborative is on solid footing at this stage and that going forward you see it being, you know, funded?
Yeah, I think this is something that there's definite need for in the state. I think it's something that people have recognized as something that is beneficial. It's innovative. It's something that points to Rhode Island being able to capitalize on its size, having 11 colleges and universities working together collaboratively. Isn't something that can always happen in other states. So that's something that we're doing here that's unique, having that consensus base from state government, having people work together in this type of format is something that's valuable. It's also something that we plan to continue to pursue larger national grants because we think this is something that can really be successful here in the state.
Looking at the state's unemployment situation in possibly different ways has been the subject. And our guest has been College and University Research Collaborative Program Director Amber Calkins. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks always to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.